Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Friday. Congratulations, you did it! Congratulations, class of 2004. We did it!
Congrats, grads. We graduated from this week.
Congrats, grads.
We are the graduates of this week.
And might I say you graduates are looking absolutely gorgeous today.
What week number of the year is it? How many weeks in are we?
Let me guess. 16.
Oh, I was going to say 10, 11.
Oh.
Let's see. This is important information.
Oh, yeah, wait, no.
How many weeks have we endured?
One, it's literally two, 10, 11.
3, 4, 5, 6,
12.
7, 8, 9. Completion of the 12th week.
That's pretty major, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like I feel confident saying this is the only podcast.
Yes, yes.
You're going to know that this was the completion of the 12th week of the year.
And we're just not doing things other people are doing, you know?
We are constantly setting the bar higher and higher.
And chasing after it, you know?
And grinding. We're on our grind.
Now, today is Friday. I have, as of this morning, officially completed my final furniture delivery. The couch made its way into my apartment, no problem this morning. And I'm done. TY, C&B. I love Crate and Barrel.
I'm so happy for you. That was pretty quick on the...
rescheduling front?
Yeah, usually, you know, furniture. They're like, we'll see you when we see you.
Yeah, they're like,
and there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, I'm dumb. You're dumb, I'm smart, I'm old, you're young, and there's nothing you can do about it. No,
there's literally nothing you can do. What are you going to do? Pick it up yourself?
It's a good question.
Do you have a truck? Because if you had a truck, you would know what it's like to make your own deliveries.
But you don't.
That's literally them. They literally look at the calendar and they're throw a dart. I think we'll just deliver in July.
No, it's so true.
What if we just said fall joggers?
And we're all just sort of at the helm.
At their whims. And my favorite part, my favorite thing that they do is when they're like, sorry, supply chain.
I haven't heard supply chain in a while. Honestly, there was like a 3-year period where like you couldn't even get like an ice cream at McDonald's, supply chain.
What about, sorry, stuck at the port?
Oh, I haven't heard that.
It's held up at customs. You know, customs does a random search once a year, and they chose us today.
That actually did happen to me with my desk.
That happened to me with my books.
Oh, my book club met last night.
I saw.
Like, you know, the book was bad when you don't even talk about the book. The book was so bad, we couldn't even have, like, a critical conversation, because that would require it to have been, like, somewhat thought-provoking or interesting. We couldn't even critique. We couldn't even do peaks and pits. I was like, the peak of my book was when it ended and the pit was when it started. Like, there was literally no structure. The book was a piece of shit. And then we all got into this sort of conspiracy theory about Reese Witherspoon. Because the girl who picked it was like, I'm so sorry. And we were like, honestly, we can't even blame you. It was a Reese's choice. When a book has that sort of stamp of approval on it, you're like, all right, it's not going to be the biggest piece of shit in the world.
You would think.
But you guys, like, this book was, like, and I know art is subjective. This book is not, it was a piece of shit book. Like, and when I posted it on my Instagram, everybody was like, I was so shocked, so shocked, so shocked. People were like, oh my God, no, it's on my list. Because it's like, it's one of those books. It's an industry plant. I just took it
off my list after your review.
It's an industry plant book. And so then I was trying to explain to everyone how, like, Reese has sort of monopolized the market on books and movies. And I'm sure she was able to get the rights to this book in terms of making it into a movie or a show. She's going to make it really popular. And then there'll be some sort of demand for it. But at its core, and if you're a reader, like, it's not a good book.
It's giving Reese's Ponzi scheme.
It's giving Hello Ponzi.
Hello Ponzi. Well, this is just a great time, Jackie.
It's giving Ponzi sunshine.
This is a great time to remind you that we don't have a Ponzi scheme going on over at the Redheads. Like, maybe if
that's
we
not
did,
what I heard.
Maybe if
that's
we did, I heard. We could make a buck.
I heard. Don't. I heard that the Redheads is running a Ponzi scheme, and that host is on Ozempic.
On opposite day. Did you hear that on April Fool's?
On opposite day. What are you, four?
Did you hear that on April Fool's?
No, I heard it on March 20th.
Let me tell you how ready I am for April Fool's. Like, every time I see something slightly nefarious, I'm like, is it April Fool's? Like, I'm on guard.
Oh, wow. She's got her guard up.
We're like 2 weeks out, and I've been on guard. I'll see like some crazy headlines. I'm like, April Fool's? No. But also, all that to say, everyone's being crazy.
Okay, by the way, this is your warning. Jackie O has reminded us all. Be on alert, because even the people like to get creative, like the days leading up to starting their prank, people are getting like a little nutty about it. Don't be fooled by the rocks that they got, you know? Like, it's April Fool's.
Yeah.
Don't be fooled.
So just stay on alert for that. I can't talk about book clubs without saying that the renaissance of the redheads is well underway.
It's in full effect.
2024, the year of the redheads. You don't want to miss this. That's what I'm going to say. And if you want to be reading pretty quality books, check out the redheads. And all's that to say, Reese's Book Club needs to hire Dana, is what they need to do.
Pitch.
Because
by the way, you pitch. I need to fix my camera, so I'm here.
I think I've said this before, but Dana reads so much. She's a really good book critic, and she should have like a freelance job at Reese's Book Clubs where she reads the manuscripts and chooses good books and gives her recommendation. That would be like the perfect job for her. Of course, it would be an inherent contradiction with the redheads, but we could maybe figure something out.
It would be an inherent contradiction with the redheads, but rising tides rise all tides. And Dana sort of being employed by the world's leading book club while also cultivating a passion of hers, her book club, I think rising tides would rise all tides.
And that skill set doesn't really apply to the redheads because we all choose a book that none of us have read. So it's not like these are book recommendations. Like, we're all going on a journey together, a June's journey.
Oh, speaking of, June's Journey is a sponsor today. Thank you so much.
We're all going on a June's journey. And I also can't talk about socialization without
What's socialization?
Just like social things. You were talking about your book club.
Oh, socializing.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I had a brain moment. I'm like, what does the word socialization mean?
Just like the zation of social.
Got it.
Without saying that yesterday, I was the most social person on the planet.
I really kind of want to take my headphones off for this. Like, you hanging out with another influencer, like, okay, I'll go. I'll see myself out.
Not only did I go to lunch with another influencer, I also went to dinner last night. I didn't even host
Did you go with another influencer?
No, I went with some new friends.
Okay.
But I went out for lunch and out for dinner. It was a lot of social battery for your girl.
No, it's actually crazy how, like, you have so many friends now. Like, you didn't even call me yesterday. Like, you're kind of done with me.
No, I know. And I'm, like, so busy. Like, I didn't even post on my Instagram that I went out to dinner. Like, I was just...
Did you say, no, I know that you're too busy for me? You should have said, no, Turdy, I'm not.
Well, I'll never, of course, be too busy for my Turday. But yesterday was just a particular busy day wherein I also overestimated how much better I was feeling because I really wasn't feeling that great. And it was really kind of a struggle to be so social and so unwell. But
that's the thing. That's the thing about getting sick. That's the thing about getting sick is that knowing when you're recovered is kind of a skill set that I don't have. Like, I always think I'm better. Next thing you know, I'm in the hospital because I thought I was better and I started to like do too much.
I didn't think I was 100% better, but I didn't want to cancel my day and I wanted to honor my commitments because, as I said, I had lunch with a fellow influencer yesterday who's also a toaster, the best kind of influencer.
Factual.
And we just had a great girly swirly afternoon. I went to lunch with Mary Orton. She's a fabulous influencer.
Okay, this is really disgusting.
Girl.
I'm sitting right here. Fabulous? Oh.
Influencer?
I feel like vomiting.
I'm sorry, Turdy. You would have loved it. The only thing that was missing was you, my influencer partner in crime.
Well, thank you.
My PIC. You.
Your IPIC.
Yeah, it's so
influencer
great.
Partner in crime.
It's so great to have an influencer partner in crime. Some influencers have that and some don't. And I feel for those that don't.
I feel that way as well, actually, a lot of the times. Obviously with you, like, but with the New York stuff, I also feel that way about Margo. Like, if I'm ever going to something where I have like a little bit of like, is this going to be awkward? Margo's like 9 times out of 10 going to be there. It's like actually not fair.
Yeah. I guess sometimes people bring like their assistant or their photographer or they have a plus one. People will extend that plus one arm. I never did that. And then sometimes, if I went to an event that you or Margo weren't at, and I was solo dolo.
No, but the true, like, good events don't let you bring plus ones.
But sometimes, like, influencers need to bring their photographers, like, to take their picture, because if they're being paid to post from there, like, you need someone to shoot the content. For me, I don't know why I never, like, thought that far ahead, because I was always having to ask someone to, like, take a picture of me. Like, I could die. I could seriously die.
Butt clenching pain.
Painful. This is not the industry for me.
It's not. That's why she left town. She left the industry. She said, fuck you bitches, I'm out.
No, like, sometimes are you ever in a moment where you're, like, so uncomfortable and you just kind of, like, see yourself from up above and it's, like, it feels like that MTV, like, you're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation.
You know, people use that phrase all the time. You, like, float out of your body and you're sort of watching yourself. That has literally never happened to me.
Oh, my God. So many times I'm, like, looking down at myself. I'm, like, how did you get into this position?
But, like, how are you getting that aerial view of yourself? I'm being dead serious. Like, you have a drone? I seriously don't understand.
It's more of an imagination.
Okay. It's an imaginatory moment.
It's an imaginatory moment. Yeah.
That's never happened to me.
Next time you find yourself in, like, a weird space or, like, just, like, feeling weird, just zoom out on yourself. It's really, you know, funny.
That's so funny that you bring that up because I don't even think I realized, like, I made a conscious decision many years ago. Like, I was not going to make myself vulnerable to being in situations like that. Like, I don't know how or why, but, like, I said, I'm like, I'm not making myself feel uncomfortable or weird. I have not found myself in, like, a genuinely uncomfortable moment in a really long time. I won't let myself get there. Like, I'll just leave.
That's good for self-preservation, but those moments are also good for growth.
So true.
But at I'm hearing
Phantom Romeo quivers.
I heard something, like, too, honestly.
You did, right?
And it's not the Stry guy. He is here in studio today in his chair.
I heard like mommy. Did you hear this?
I heard something. I'm not going to lie.
So in terms of the show today, we have five stories. Would you be able to describe those five stories in three words for me? My absolute most annoying favorite thing to ask you.
Okay, not in three words. We can play that game another time because I do have a way to describe these stories that I feel like will let everyone know. Maybe I could ask for permission to go outside the bounds of the framework of the show.
Can I give you five words?
Here's the thing about the stories today.
What? Oh, you're scaring me.
It's five words.
Oh, great. Five stories, five words.
So far, there's only four.
That's fine, by the way, because we have Queenie and Weenie of the Week. We can make that a fifth story.
Yeah.
The thing is, we hold ourselves such, like, to, like, such strict. No one cares if we did seven stories or if we did four. Like, it's Friday. I think it's fine. And unless there's some breaking news.
Every once in a while, like, we accidentally do four. I've never done it intentionally and, like, tried to gaslight people. Like, here's the fast five. And then knowing it's only four. Mm-hmm. And I could so easily do it to you, too, because you're always like, what number is this? Like,
I just kind of exist in this weird time-space continuum when it comes to the stories.
And you just trust me that there's five, and I'm being honest. And I could have been dishonest today, but I just feel like transparency is why people love this show. We're authentic to a fault.
To a fault. Remember that one time we tried to clickbait?
I will do a quick another look-see at the stories while you're doing the ads. But if there's only four, I'm not going to torture you with a fifth story from CNBC Business that nobody wants to hear.
CNN.com/money.
Well, that sounds good. That sounds interesting. Actually, I did see a money story today that for a second I thought was interesting, but I didn't want to talk about it. But I'm bringing
it up. Do you
want to
talk about it right now?
Only because we're talking about CNN.com/money.
Come on.
Guess what company went public on the stock exchange yesterday?
I love stories like this. Let me think. I don't know.
Reddit. Yucky.
Now, wow, I just wasn't expecting.
And they went under the ticker YUCK.
No, I think they went under... I thought that I had seen that their ticker was LOSERS.
Oh, yeah. That's what their alternate trading is under.
Okay, so funny. We had actually went on this rant a couple of weeks ago that, like, if you find yourself on Reddit, like, you are a mentally ill person and to seek treatment immediately. Like, pause the podcast. And a lot of people, we got feedback being like, listen, like, your POV of Reddit is obviously, like, those awful pages where they, like, write stuff about influencers. But, like, most of the platform is extremely useful, like, if you're into, you know, handiwork. And, you know, I have actually recently ended up, it's basically replaced Yahoo Answers. You know, when you need a question to an answer, like, it's usually on Reddit. Actually, I was having a tech issue with my podcast machine literally on Monday, and I found the answer on Reddit. So I hear what people are saying. But, yeah.
Yeah. No, I feel like I'm always asking Google a question and then it'll take me to, like, someone on Reddit who asked that question about, like, some nonsense. Okay. Thanks.
No, and I've actually been thinking a lot about Reddit recently. And, like, I, and you too, but obviously I was making it about me, like, I am so incredibly famous. Like, it's actually crazy. I think I need, like, full-time security. Like, I need, it's, should I move to LA?
Yeah. Well, then would you be as famous in LA or more famous? How would that work?
Oh, you know, I do. I feel like a lot
of
that.
Like influencers or people who are doing their thing and then move to LA, they get kind of lost out there.
I actually completely
physically
agree.
Physically and metaphysically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like everyone in LA has read it.
Yeah. But are you more of a big fish, small pond?
Oh, small yeah. pond. Yes. Big Don't fish? Even finish the question. Big fish, small pond.
You like, but not that New York City's a small pond at all.
When it comes to like podcasting, content creation, not comedy, but yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it depends. And we learned that lesson so many times the hard way trying to get guest co-hosts. But it's definitely doing better now than it was in terms of
yes.
influencers in the city.
Yes, there's a small renaissance occurring.
That's a show I want to watch. Influencers in the City.
They have tried so many times.
Why can't and they just make a decent show? All those, like, the influencers want to be on TV. The TV wants people who have followings. Like, why is this so hard?
It's actually hard, and I think it's something that the Housewives franchise faced, is that the influencers who want to be on TV are really not people that we're interested in watching. The true, like, I want to see Ariel Charna. She would never.
Okay, she would never. And I feel like we do need to, like, level set our expectations. We're not going to get Ariel Charnas, but there are plenty of influencers.
I would never.
Influencers aplenty.
But like who?
I don't know, like Margot's Girl of Gang, Girl Gang. Show about them. Put them on a show.
I love all of them.
Though Margot wouldn't be on it. She wouldn't want to.
And I don't think that would be successful. I don't. And that's not a knock to those girls, I swear to God. I just don't think it would. Because we think you're thinking very insularly. Like, I'm thinking about, you know, people with global brands, Ariel Charnas.
But I also think it wouldn't be successful because, like, they have something to protect. They're not going to get their
Everyone
hands
does.
Dirty. That's the thing. No, like, if someone is going on reality TV to become a household name, like, they're going to do the most. They're going to...
They have nothing to lose.
They're going to try. Yeah, all they have is to gain. So I think that's the inherent conflict.
Yes, and that's why, like, the true New York socialites, those women who, ladies who lunch, you will never catch a real one of them on The Housewives, ever.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Except Cindy Barshop.
Our TV hopes are dashed. Except Cindy Barshop, Claudia's all-time favorite housewife. Only real toasters will know.
I don't even understand that joke.
Me neither anymore. I just, like, I feel like.
Jackie used to say that, like, I loved Cindy Barshop. No. I never even spoke about her. Jackie was like, Claudia's obsessed.
There was a time, not anymore, because I forgot about this joke, but there was a time whenever we would, like, talk about housewives or past housewives, like, you always, she was your go-to. She was your Keenan
Uber driver. You guys, it might have been twice. Like, I seriously never said it.
She was your Keenan Uber driver, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, because it's the only, like, you don't have anything else. I never even brought up Cindy Barshop. Bitch.
Once AI is able to search all of our episodes for, like, things that we've spoken about, and I can just put
it's
in.
It's over for you hookers.
I can just put in when Claudia spoke about Cindy Barshop. It's over for you, comma, it's hooker.
It's over for me, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to stop AI.
For that reason alone.
How did we get here?
It's Friday. Congrats, grads. Let's go from the top. June's journey.
Oh, if we could really get, that would be such a fun game.
I actually know how we got here. Shall I say?
No.
Five stories. There's only four. CNN Money, Reddit.
Yeah.
Influencers. You're So Famous. Influencers in the City.
The TV show. Cindy Barshop.
It's not that crazy.
It's kind of just further proving your thesis that, like, all roads lead to Cindy Barshop, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I actually feel like we have a lot of listeners who don't know who Cindy Barshop is.
Cindy Barshop was a one-season wonder on The Real Housewives of New York.
I wouldn't even say she was a one-season wonder. She was so forgettable.
That's actually...
Except for that she owned a business that did, like, facials and bedazzling and, like, on people's vaginas.
Vaginal rejuvenation.
It was called Vajazzling. She had, like, a vagina bedazzle studio.
Not that Claudia goes home and studies Cindy Barshop history.
Not that I currently have a vajazzled vagina.
Not that she has an appointment later at bar shops.
Bar shops. No, like.
I'm telling you. There's something here.
Maybe it was her bangs. Like, There definitely was something extreme. Also, her name.
Something like, that drew you, Claudia Ashray, to her Cindy Bar shop. There is like a,
an invisible string. The invisible string is, I actually happen to think she has such a fabulous name. When you see it written out and you also verbally, like Cindy Bar shop, it's kind of like a brilliant name.
So I wasn't wrong all these years.
No, you were. You were. You. I feel like you actually made me upset. Like now, yes, I am.
A self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, you made it so. Thanks.
Powerful woman I am.
Now, I feel, because we do have the stories. There might be four, there might be five. But we also have Queenie and Weenie of the Week. My favorite segment, which is our weekly segment, where we sort of bestow an honor upon two people as the Queenie and the Weenie of the Week. Were you being Weenie-like this week? Well, you just might be named Weenie of the Week.
Two people, places, or things.
Yes, yes. It's
mine is a bit thing, more conceptual this week.
I love that. One thing about Weenie of the Week, it's like, it's truly what you make it. And I do want to start petitioning, seriously, to have Queenie removed. I had three options for Weenie, and I could barely think of one Queenie. I just want to say, it's really not fun. Now, I know we're trying to negate, like, not to be, like, negative queens.
That's
like
not mean why. Girlies. It just felt, like, balanced. And sometimes I only have a Queenie,
don't like
not
it.
A Weenie.
I actually don't like Queenie of the Week. But sign up in the comments. Should it just be Weenie of the Week? Also, Weenie of the Week rolls off the tongue so much more, like, fabulously.
No, I think it's good for pos. It's good, Claudia. We have to keep the balance.
Okay, let's just breeze through Queenie later.
Of course,
like,
we always
cares?
Do.
Yeah,
we always
yeah, yeah.
do. Without further ado, here are the fast five, maybe four stories that you need to know.
And the fast five, perhaps four stories that you might need to know are brought to you by Fashion Pass. You guys know we have been Fashion Pass girlies for years. In case you don't remember, it's the clothing rental service that actually has cute clothes. So I know you're going to say, Turdy, why is this rental service different than other rental services? Well, first, for starters, the shit is cute. It's stuff that you can find like on Revolve. It's good brands. It's hot right now. It's not old tunics and grandma muumuus, sorry. And their plans are very well priced. So Fashion Pass was started by a toaster. And they have the best brands for Love and Lemons, Love Shack Fancy, Good American, Show Me Your Muumuu, Free People, so many more. And they're brands that you have heard of and brands that you love. And the plan that we're on is the Trendsetter plan, where you get four clothing items per order and you can switch them out as often as you want. You don't need to wait for like the term to end. If you love something or you don't love it, or let's say it doesn't fit, you're not stuck with it just because that's like your order for the month. They have you covered for vacation, weddings, bachelorettes, anything bridal. Jackie was wearing a sweater from Favorite Daughter, which is a very cool brand, by the way. Like the fact that they have it on Fashion Pass is cool. It's like a hot new brand. It's started by Erin and Sarah Foster, and it's like, it's kind of hard to get their stuff. Not on Fashion Pass.
Precisely.
The shipping is super fast. They take care of dry cleaning, so you just send them back in the pre-labeled bag when you're done, and you'll get to choose new items. We have a discount code for you, and it's the best discount they currently offer. You're not going to get this anywhere else. If you go to fashionpass.com, use code TOAST at checkout, you will get $30 off your first month, so you can try it for just $89. That's code TOAST at fashionpass.com. Today's episode is brought to you by June's Journey, as Jackie so adequately sort of teased at the beginning of the show.
It was a bit of a teaser.
June's Journey is a great phone game. I love games on my phone. I'm always playing games. And June's Journey is a fabulous one because everybody loves a good mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's Journey. Step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder. Engage your observation skills to quickly uncover key pieces of information that lead to chapters of mystery, danger, and romance. Where will each new chapter take you? So it's really fun to play. You can find hidden clues and uncover a murder mystery. You can solve mind-teasing mysteries of the Roaring Twenties. The vibe is very Gatsby, very old school, very, you know, Roaring Twenties, flapper girl. So it's really cute and fun to play. You can engage your sense of observation to find hidden clues. Search for hidden objects from the parlors of New York to the sidewalks of Paris. Each chapter will uncover a collection of dazzling hidden object spectacles for you to solve. Super fun. You can customize your own luxurious estate island. Let your imagination run wild when decorating your island estate. And basically build your very own island estate with expansive gardens and beautiful buildings. You can download the app and crack the case. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and on Android. June needs your help, detective, so download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Our first story. Josh Peck speaks out about Quiet on Set documentary after being slammed for not publicly supporting Drake Bell. So Josh Beck has posted and spoken up.
Josh Beck?
Yeah, just roll with it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to harm good guys SEO.
Good, good, good.
But he posted a statement to his Instagram saying, quote, "I finished the Quiet on Set documentary and took a few days to process it. I reached out to Drake privately, but want to give my support for the survivors who were brave enough to share their stories of emotional and physical abuse on Nickelodeon sets with the world. Children should be protected. Reliving this publicly is incredibly difficult, but I hope it can bring healing for the victims and their families, as well as necessary change to our industry."
Yeah. How this documentary ended up being about Josh Peck is so bizarre to me. I know Josh Peck personally. Did I think he was, you know, championing the abuse? No. He's a very good guy. And
no pun intended? Pun intended.
Oh. Him being villainized is one of the more bizarre things to come out of this whole saga. And I don't know how we got so lost in our rage. But I need everybody to resharpen their pitchforks and leave Josh alone. And let's tackle the industry. Let's tackle the infrastructure that made abuse like this possible. Let's tackle the industry that is probably still, well, we'll hear another documentary in 10 years about what's going on some other kid's channel.
Right now, as we speak.
So, like, seriously, people need to get a grip. And this, like, we've lost the plot.
We have. People do need to redirect. Yeah, is it killing you that Good Guys is kind of just like the center of the drama this week?
No, actually. It's not. But like, I was talking to Ben, I'm like, I just started looking at him and I'm like, how the fuck did you become like the name on everybody's lips, Quiet on Set? And like, you're like right at the center of it. Literally how?
Literally how?
But that's so Ben. He doesn't even try and he finds himself in these like precarious. Ben literally like.
Just at the center of drama. He's like Forrest Gump.
No, Ben was literally on the cover by accident of the New York Post. Because, like, of course, somebody took him to a basketball game and he sat courtside. And it was like, apparently he stood up at the perfect moment. And it's like him and I forget who. Like that's Ben. Like, he doesn't even try. If it was me, I would know that, like, this was a moment. And I would literally be, you like, doing my lipstick. Much. Yeah, I want it too much.
No, he's literally Forrest Gump. He just finds himself in the middle of these major moments. And how?
I don't know. All that to say, I thought this was actually a very well-written statement.
I thought it was a great statement. It's so obvious, you know, to people who are... have their heads screwed on straight. Like, yeah, this is tragic. Let's protect the children. Children should be protected first and foremost. Like, let's advocate for change in the industry. It's crazy that it even needs to be said, but I can't even imagine like what Josh's Instagram was looking like.
Right. Well, so what had happened was that the day that everything sort of blew up, Josh had posted a TikTok.
Right.
Like earlier in the day, which was just like his regular content using different TikTok sounds and like being funny. And it was basically just a sound. If I haven't spoken to you since in the last whatever, don't come looking at me. Like it was whatever. It was just like his regular content. But it happened to have like gone viral at the time that like the Dan Schneider interview came out. And it was just poor timing. And a lot of people thought it was like a message to Drake. And it wasn't. Like, I bet you Josh filmed that TikTok a month ago. He's like an actual content creator. He has 10 million followers. He's not like, you know, slobs like us. Like, I'm sure he has like a, I mean, he probably does run his own social medias, but he's not somebody who just like posts something and then records something and then posts it. I'm sure like this was scheduled. Like, he's a real content creator.
Yeah, but also it's like whatever he had posted on that day, people would have taken to mean that he was talking to Drake and whatever TikTok sound it was, like, you're one of my elite employees, like, that right. Would have gone well either.
It's true. People would have read into whatever it was.
Right. So he cleared up what didn't need clearing up, but hopefully people can, like, fuck off now.
Yeah, no, I refuse to get into the mindset. Like, I can't understand how this became about Josh. Like, and I feel like we always say after we watch a documentary and like this one, we're like, how did this happen? And it's like, look, we've now all learned everything and we're still not mad at the right people.
Right, exactly.
And sorry, I don't say we because I'm normal, but.
Yeah, and like the toasters are normal too. So We're all just kind of like an echo chamber of normalcy. It's a little frustrating.
It's a little boring, actually. No, for real. Like, it's a little boring, like, always having the right takes and being told we're crazy. Like, I'm so over this culture. We are normal, like, traditional, good people. And every time we say something, they're like, you guys are so wrong. Like, what about this? Maybe you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm, like, kind of sick of it.
I know, Claude, but the man in the arena, what do they say about him?
What do they say? I actually know. No, it's like... It's not easy. It's not easy being the man in the arena.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not but the same.
It's easy to be a slob in the stands booing.
It's easy to be a slob in the stands booing.
But no, the man in the arena, like, yeah, that's so me. Who said that?
Theodore Roosevelt, Theo.
That's such a good...
Okay, wait, what's
rip,
the...
Rip to both of Theos.
Rip to both. Oh, here is the famous quote. It's a long one, but I want everyone...
I'm going to hang on every word.
It is not the critic who counts, Slay.
Slay. I think what he was saying, it's not the slob in the stands who counts.
Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. Oh, this is such a Slay.
It is.
The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions? Who spends himself in a worthy cause? Who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement? And who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Jackie.
It's literally
it's giving. Reddit. No, seriously, like, I've recently had, like, a renaissance about Reddit. Jackie, there are 15,000 people who follow that page. Like, that's 15,000 people, like, who hang on to every word we say. And we are in the arena, dust on our face, blood in our mouths.
The man in the arena, yeah.
Oh, my God, no.
We're so man famous. In the arena, greater than slobs in the stands.
Well, that's kind of, like, the thesis of today's episode.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad for this detour.
Me too. I love that quote.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Switching gears, however, pertinent to something that we discussed at the top of the show, one season wonder, Anna Marie Wiley has been fired from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills after one season. Anna Marie Wiley has been fired from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills after less than one season. She said on Instagram, "I just got word today that I will not be returning to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. To say that I'm disappointed is an understatement." She emphasized that she never auditioned to be on the show and claimed she was asked to star on it out of the blue and 6 weeks after the cast had already started filming. "I was thrown into filming 2 weeks later, mid-season. I was very excited about the opportunity. And I thought following exactly what I was instructed to do throughout filming last season was the way the game was played. Listening to what I was instructed to do was my rookie mistake. What I am disappointed about is that the fans never got to see me or even a glimpse of my unique life story."
Like, I'm really, like, one of my least favorite things is, like, explaining yourself as a loser. You know, like, it didn't work. There's nothing sadder to me. It's like it's giving sore loser. And it's possible. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way for, you know, at a job that they were fired from. Anything. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm really not interested in your explanation or your excuses. Like, you didn't cut it.
Yeah.
It's just giving sore loser.
It is. It's giving bummed. Like, I think she has a lot of regrets about how she behaved this season. I'm glad to know now, like, she was doing what she thought she was supposed to do as, like, a housewife, what producers were telling her. And that wouldn't have been her choices because they were weird choices. But I, after the reunion, I was ready to, like, start anew with her. Everyone kind of has a crappy first season. You're thrown into the fire. I do think it's a little unfair to bring her in the middle of one season. She did move the storyline a little bit. She didn't do nothing. And then to fire her, I do feel like everyone deserves a sophomore season.
I agree. And if you don't give someone a second chance, like, you never know what they're truly capable of. And I sometimes feel conflicted because there are some people who are so absolutely fucking insufferable, Peggy Sulhadian, who absolutely have to go after one season. But I would have felt that way after Eileen Davidson's first season. And she turned out to be such a butterfly. And there's actually rumors that she has been contacted by producers to rejoin the cast.
Oh, I do like that as an aside. I also think if you come on and you know what you're supposed to do and you know the game, like, that kind of rings inauthentic too, like if you've watched too much of the show. So I think her coming on and kind of shitting the bed is very genuine. And I would have not been opposed to seeing more of her next season. She also talks about, like, what she had wanted to show in her life. She said, "What I am is a woman, a proud Black woman who is truly blessed with a wonderful, strong Black man as my husband who lifts me and our four wonderful children up with so much love and positivity on the daily. It was an important mission of mine for the next season to show a solid Black family unit and that true black love exists even in Beverly Hills. Also, my struggle with losing my mother to lung cancer within weeks of taping and my struggle with adoption trauma and what was going to be and still will be a new life journey for me to find my biological parents, all of which was taped, which was never shown. The last part I'm okay. good on.
Yeah, no, it sounds like what she was willing to share was something I might find interesting with somebody I've seen for 10 seasons. Like, to come on so strong with such a personal storyline that doesn't involve drama or the other women, while admirable and a beautiful story, personally, it's going to be a no for me on finding your bylaw. It's giving, you know, it's giving Melissa Gorga having her sister.
And that she, was like a phantom sister.
She had been on TV for 10 years at that point, and we still didn't care.
Yeah, or Ashley Darby went and found someone at one point. Maybe it was her dad or something.
Yeah, yeah. Don't care.
No, it's one of my least favorite
tropes. I completely agree.
So yeah, this is sad for her. I feel bad for her that like just kind of shat the bed.
I feel bad that she was fired and she clearly like really wanted to make it work, and that sucks.
And she had more to give, and I feel like maybe they could have. They didn't. I feel like they didn't need to make this decision right now. They could have like had her on the next season, like yes. see how the season panned out. Like, what do they have planned for next season? Who is going to join the
it's
cast?
It's true. She really could have like gotten the first couple of episodes a trial, and if it didn't work out, she'd just be friend of.
I felt like the reunion was pretty redemptive for her. Like, I wasn't mad anymore about whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever sauce.
Sauce.
So, yeah, I also feel like she came on as a friend of Kyle. I don't know how close they actually are. But Kyle should have given her like a little bit of more of a
leg up.
Handbook.
Yeah, but also like Kyle was dealing with, it's like she was brought on as Kyle's friend, and Kyle, who should have been her sort of captain, was going through her own shit and like literally had absolutely no time to help anyone.
Yeah, it's true.
It's unfortunate timing.
It is. We shall see. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Lucas Gage apologizes to Shania Twain for wasting her time after she performed at his wedding to Chris Appleton. So Lucas Gage was on Watch What Happens Live talking about his ill-fated marriage to Chris Appleton, and he answered questions about the marriage while answering a question about why he...
Answering?
He did answer. It was yeah. a very formal answer. Yeah. A question about why he and Chris decided to wear fur coats on their big day, he took the time to express some regrets. He said, quote, "I want to apologize to Shania Twain for wasting her time." He admitted that wearing the fur coats was a horrible idea. He said, quote, "I mean, we're still holding on. You're still the one after 3 weeks. That was unhinged. That was like the biggest waste of time. I love you, Shania. I'm really sorry about that." He also apologized to Kim Kardashian, who legally wed them. He said, "Look, Kim's great. She was really sweet to fly us all out and take care of us and pay for everything. Sorry to Kim and Shania. So sorry."
No, you know what? Like, thanks. Like, I actually appreciate the apology. I think we all watched that going down, knowing this marriage was going nowhere. It was like the most random, quick.
I stand by the fact that I did not know this marriage was going nowhere. I thought this was a really cute couple that seemed well matched.
No, it was literally like a month.
They were together like 2 months, and then they got married in Vegas, and they were divorced after 3 months or 6 months. Yeah,
like I think, all of us except for Jackie, who's on Ozempic, yeah. We all knew that.
You really can't be telling people that, because then they're going to be like, oh, why isn't it working?
How I'm being villainized. You said you were mad. Nobody was speculating that you were on Ozempic.
No. I'm speculating, but you're giving comfort. Like, you're my sister, so people believe what you have to say about me.
Okay, so you want me to be like more speculatory in my language?
Yes, more speculatory, please.
Okay. So everybody except for Jackie O, who's speculatorily on Ozempic.
Perfect.
We knew it was going nowhere. And to see all these resources sort of being wasted, like Kim just doesn't marry anyone. She doesn't fly anyone. She doesn't contact Shania Twain for anyone. Having Shania Twain sing "You're Still the One," probably one of the top 10 biggest wedding songs of the last like decade, unfair. And you know what? I appreciate the apology. I feel like my time was wasted too.
If you're saying everyone knew this is going nowhere, wouldn't you think that Kim knew too? Like, she's his best friend.
Yeah, but whether or not she knew, like, he's still going through with it, so she's going to make her friend happy.
Okay. It's just kind of like a funny pop culture thing. Like, no one was harmed in the making of this wedding.
You know what's a funny pop culture thing? Jackie, tell me what Lucas Gage has acted in.
White Lotus.
Oh, okay, fine. But like, I don't know him.
He's
from
the
that.
Only Lucas Gage I know. I know there's another one, but he's from White Lotus too.
Okay. I've seen every episode of White Lotus. I could not tell you who Lucas Gage was.
I didn't watch the second season, but in the first season, he worked at the hotel.
As?
I don't know what his, like a valet sort. Did he have sex with the guy, with the hotelier?
Did he?
And like yes. Maybe something to do with weed?
Yeah. Okay, because do you know why he's famous?
White Lotus to me.
No, that's the thing. They always say White Lotus actor. No. He was in that video that went viral of the Zoom audition where the producer, director that he's auditioning for thinks he's on mute and he says to his like partner, God, these apartments are so fucking sad.
Yeah.
That was Lucas Gage. And that's, so when they say White Lotus Lucas Gage, they should really say Zoom audition Lucas Gage. Okay, that's how I know him.
Wow, yeah.
Is that crazy? And he was like, I know. That's why you got to book me on this role.
Yeah.
And he handled it really well. Remember when we said that, like we reported on that story?
Yes.
Yep. Well, that's Lucas Gage.
The more you know. Thank you for the fun fact.
You're welcome.
I feel like every time we talk about Lucas Gage, you tell me that, and it's as if it's anew every time.
Feels why will something like the just first stick? Time.
It feels like the first time every time.
I feel that.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Which is our fourth and final story, but it's a really good one.
Okay.
It has the power of two stories.
The power of love.
Jack Black says that he's ready for a School Rock sequel, but Mike White needs to write it, and he's really busy right now with the White Lotus. It comes back to the White Lotus.
That's so true.
Jack Black recently told Joe while making the press rounds for Kung Fu Panda 4 that he is more than ready to make a sequel to School of Rock, the 2003 comedy classic that was directed by Richard Linklater and written by Mike White. Jack Black has stayed close with his younger co-stars over the years, but a movie sequel has never gotten off the ground. School of Rock was adapted into a hit Broadway musical, but perhaps it's time to get the band back together on the big screen. He said, I wish there'd be a School of Rock 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Of course he said it that way. Here's the thing. A lot of people might not realize Ned Schneebly from that movie was actually the writer of that movie. And he didn't have a lot of like crazy success until recently when he wrote White Lotus. And obviously now he's like super rich and famous. Now, I probably am one of the biggest fans of School of Rock. Actually, my husband is. But like I quote it on a daily basis.
You're a big fan by marriage.
Yes, by blood. However, I actually think this is a movie that needs to like exist on its own in perpetuity. I don't think a sequel would be good, mostly because the magic of the movie was like all those young kids, like they're 40 now.
Yeah, I think for a sequel, Jack Black's character is a new principal.
Okay.
One of the kids, Miranda Cosgrove,
still teaching at the school?
Yeah, he's Ned Schneebly as Jack. There's two Ned Schneebly's. Which one? The real or the fake? Jack Black
isn't. They're real.
Mike White.
Yeah, Ned Schneebly.
Yeah, but Jack Black also went by Ned Schneebly.
What's his real name in the movie?
Dewey.
Oh, yeah, Dewey Schmidt.
Yeah. So Dewey Schmidt is the principal.
Yep.
One of the children is now a teacher in the class. Miranda Cosgrove, maybe. Sorry.
How would he be the principal? When the movie ended, he started
his own. Yeah, he's arrested.
No, he's not arrested. He started his own music school.
For sure. It's been 20 years.
And the music teacher becomes the principal? I feel like the real Ned Schneebly would be the principal, and Dewey Schmidt would be like the head of the music department. Like, if we want to be realistic, for real. I love the thought of Jack Black being the principal, but like, we got to be logical.
But sometimes they just make the principal like Mr. Congeniality, you know? Like, who does, like, the teacher that everybody loves, like, eventually becomes the principal. That's how schools work. Right?
I don't think so, but continue.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Kenneth from Love is Blind is the principal.
I was thinking that too, of course.
No, okay. Can I say my movie?
Yeah.
Say your movie? Dewey is the principal. He went and got his master's. He loved teaching so much. He became a teacher and a principal. He also does have a musical bend. One of the children, Miranda Cosgrove, since she is still a working actress and would be great, is the teacher for the class.
Miranda Cosgrove went on to teach at the school?
Yes. Miranda Cosgrove. Couldn't you see that?
Okay.
Then we'll have new students, new musical students. And I guess we do need our new musical teacher.
Okay. Now, here it is. Ready? Mm-hmm. Ned Schneebly, real one, is the principal. Jack Black is the head of the music department. Miranda Cosgrove and some of the other kids from I'm Not Cool Enough, you know, some of the other kids are parents at the school and their kids are the new
class.
And then Jack Black like does have to pass the baton on who is the new substitute who comes in and starts a band, you know?
Yeah, there needs
who's like
need
the
that.
Big comedy actor of the moment right now? Who's the young hot thing? Who's the next Jack Black? He's inimitable, but who is? Is it a woman?
Nah, bro. Nah.
Okay. And who, like, sings, too? A lot of comedians, like, weirdly have good voice.
Oh, you know who would be so great?
Me.
Okay, yeah. But also...
Who?
That girl. Kat.
Cohen. You know
Kat
what?
Kat Cohen.
She would actually
be amazing.
She would be better than me. The job of Dewey Schmidt... goes to Kat Cohen.
Maybe she's events, his daughter.
Events, events, I want to go to... Oh my God, she's his daughter. Events, events, I want to go to events. Invite me to
invite
your
me
events.
To your events.
No, you're so
that
right.
That movie writes itself.
No, it doesn't. We did. And we'd like credit.
Yeah, we would. Love it.
And she's just kind of like... She gives like bad teacher energy. You know, she comes in hungover.
Yeah, it's a fusion. I think it can be done. It has to be perfection. Otherwise, throw it in the trash. But if the key players are on board and the magic and the genius behind the original movie is there for the second movie, I think it can be done.
I love.
Great. Well, those were our Fast 4 stories.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we're not even done because it's... time.
Queenie and Weenie of the Week.
Which is brought to you by Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part is that all of Quince's items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. So Quince partners directly with top factories. They're cutting the cost of the middleman out, and they are passing the savings on to you. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which we love. So it sounds like Quince is only using top quality fabric.
You could say that
one
again.
Could say. Now, if you watched our Patreon episode where I tried on all of Jackie's clothes, then you would know, like, I'm in the era of I'm not buying disposable crap clothing anymore. Like, I'm investing in less stuff but better quality, and Quince is a great place to get the basics. I have a really great cashmere sweater from them. I have a great pair of black slacks, which I feel like are really good staple items. So I'm slowly buying, I think they're calling it a capsule wardrobe, where my pieces are better quality. I'm investing in them more, but I have less things, which I really like. Indulge in affordable luxury and go to quince.com/toast for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/toast to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/toast. quince.com/toast for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you, Claudia.
Okay, now it is time for our final segment of the week, Queenie and Weenie of the Week, where Jackie and I bestow the honor of Queenie of the Week and Weenie of the Week to two different individuals, someone who displayed Queenie-like behavior and somebody who displayed Weenie-like behavior. Now, as usual, I have three different options for Weenie of the Week, and Queenie of the Week, I was really only able to scrounge up one.
Okay, my Queenie of the Week is Drake Bell.
Okay.
Coming forward, telling his story, really busting this case wide open and bringing a really important conversation back into the fore. I think he exemplified Queenie-like behavior in that.
I agree. I think he also continued to exemplify Queenie-like behavior when he made a video sort of defending his friend Josh when he didn't have to. You know, everyone's loving Drake, and the internet has been kind of hard on Drake, and he could have just, like, you know, sat back and just accepted all this sort of love. But he still, even in a time of healing, went out of his way to defend his friend. So I agree with you.
Yeah. Who was yours?
Oprah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oprah, I feel like I've had so many conversations in the last, when her special came out on Ozempic 5 days ago. I've had like 10 different conversations with different people from different like sects of my life, and they all watched it. And I just find the way that people have been talking about Ozempic is different since her special. They all watched the special. It was the first time I've seen mainstream media do this overwhelmingly positive piece of reporting on Ozempic, and that wouldn't have been possible without Oprah. And that was Queenie. That was Queenie-like.
Mm-hmm.
So my Oprah, my Queenie is Oprah.
My weenie. My weenie runner-up is Dan Schneider.
I know.
Of course.
Honestly, I was going to choose somebody from the documentary, but it's so, weenie is like so, we're always like poking fun. It's not that serious. And I didn't think that giving someone like, you know, Brian Peck that, I thought it was not enough.
No, beyond
the pale.
Weenie. Like, yeah, I agree. He was my runner-up. Obviously, he exhibited weenie-like behavior this week and for the last weeks, for thousands of weeks past. But my overall weenie of my personal week that really ruined my week.
Was your migraine.
Was my migraine. Week ruiner. Like, I've just been so off my game this week. I feel like I had so many days that I didn't get to I feel like I've been accomplishing so much and being so productive, and it just like stopped me dead in my tracks and it wouldn't go away. And it was giving weenie.
I just want to say the overwhelming consensus from our community was that you were just like kind of your best self this week. Like, people have really been sort of complimenting you. So the fact that you feel like you haven't been like your best self, just know that you have. It's been enough.
Thank you. Well, I always give my best self to the toast, but it was the migraine that stopped me from like post-toast hours. I would never let it affect the show, but I had to do less every day this week because of the migraine. And I've been getting so much done, you know, even Redhead's content took a back seat, and it was just unfortunate and really unnecessary and rude and weenie-like.
Well, migraine, you are the weenie of the week.
Now, for me, my weenie, not for me.
My weenie of the week is a little bit different. My weenie of the week is Dalton Gomez. Because I just think any self-respecting man who even, you know, has a job accepting $1 million from a woman, are you okay? Now, he's also a weenie because you only got a million. Ariana Grande's worth what? 240? Like, both ends of this are weenie-like. You didn't get enough, and the fact that you took, oh, vomiting. Weenie. I now, sir, announce you weenie of the week.
I'm glad that you brought him up, because something that I realized that I've just been wanting to mention, but there's never like a right time to mention, just this thought that I had that I noticed, is I've been listening to Ariana's album and Kacey Musgraves' album, and there's a common theme. Okay. I don't know if anyone else has noticed this, but they both talk about the Saturn something. Like, Ariana has like the Saturn thing, and and Kacey's "When I Turned 27, My Saturn Changed." Like, I guess that when after 27 years, something happens with Saturn, and they both mention it on their albums. I'd never heard of it before. It's like a 27-year thing.
It's,
and
like,
I guess that's why like being 27 is a major change.
So it's a 27-year thing, but it's also like a rich person looking for like an answer to their problems thing. Like, we all turn 27, we all turn 28, and we don't write songs about it. Like, I don't get into that boo-hickey, you know, Hollywood foreign nonsense. I don't.
Me neither. But I know like Mercury is in retrograde.
Mercury is.
I know certain astrological tropes, but they're both talking about Saturn. And I thought it was interesting at the same time. I never heard of it before. What's that effect?
Now you Mandela. Hear it everywhere? Well, no, that's not the Mandela. That's what you think the Mandela effect is. You always say that ain't the Mandela effect.
There's an effect where like all of a sudden you start seeing this thing everywhere, but this isn't even a coincidence, because like these albums both came out and they're both talking about motherfucking Saturn.
I don't blame it on any sort of effect. I blame it on like celebrities like being overly
ooh, hickey nonsense.
Overly into astrology and like therapy, honestly.
Okay. Well, it was just
it's a double whammy. Yeah.
No, I need to add it to my list of coincidences. I don't know if you know, but I have one.
I do. The Snow White movies.
Exactly, the Snow White movies. Okay, here it is. Yeah, there are so many. What was this? Saturn,
Ariana, Kacey.
This list is years in the making, because some of these things won't even make sense anymore. But like No Strings Attached and Friends with Benefits.
That's a crazy coincidence.
The two Fire Festival documentaries at the same, like literally the same week. Then also at the same time that Harvey Weinstein was going down, there was a Hurricane Harvey.
Okay.
At the same time that everything was happening with Stormy Daniels, Kylie named her daughter Stormy.
Her daughter, yeah.
Her daughter.
Tree and Jimmy her daughters.
Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay, that one's like not that crazy, but yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's a little crazy. They do the same thing.
They literally do the same thing, yeah.
And then I also have Tennille. There's two Tennilles at the same time, and then we never heard of them again.
They were like two country artists who popped off. They each had really popular songs, and both their names were Tennille. Tennille Arts and Tennille Towns.
Towns,
yeah.
Tones.
Yeah.
Okay. It's an important list.
I like it. I like it a lot. So I have fabulous dinner plans this evening. I'm going to like this new hot restaurant. Of course, Ben's offer like got the res.
I have fabulous dinner plans too.
But I'm a little nervous about going out to dinner. It's my first like out meal being on Weight Watchers.
Is the Weight Watchers, does the menu have like points on the side?
No.
It's you need to go to points friendly restaurants.
Cheesecake Factory.
You're literally the points guy.
Oh my God, that's funny. I like that. That's funny.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Tess and Lenny Morning Show. We deliver the fast five stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. By the way, I feel like people are going to be like, oh my God, they cut their episode so much today. There were so many edits. If you guys only knew, Jackie's power went out in the middle of this episode.
A lot of things happened that we actually didn't edit any of the content. Like,
no.
This isn't. Sometimes we cut like to take something out. That's not what happened. These were all different technological issues.
Thank you so much for listening to the Toast with the Technological Issues. The Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe. Give the video a thumbs up. Also, bubbles, podcasts, and podcasts, and podcasts, and Spotify, and Twitter, Public Radio, Reddit, Castbox, Lobos, Wavy, Little Podcasts, and Fast, Toast, and Fast, Radio, a beautiful setting, and wickedly talented we are. Have an amazing weekend. We love you.
Love you. Bye.